Let us turn to Mark chapter 2. I'm actually going to read chapter 1, verse 44, starting with verse 44. And I'm going to go into chapter 2. So if you want to start Mark chapter 1, verse 44 of chapter 1, and we're going to cross over into chapter 22. The Bible reads, Mark chapter 1, once again, verse 44. And he said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priests and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them." But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the news around to such an extent that Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city, but stayed out in unpopulated areas, and they were coming to him from everywhere. Chapter 2 states, "When he had come back to Capernaum several days afterward, it was heard that he was at home, and many were gathered together so that there was no longer room, not even near the door. And he was speaking the word to them. And they came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. Being unable to get to him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had dug an opening, they let down the pallet on which the paralytic was lying. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, 'Son, your sins are forgiven.' But some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, 'Why does this man speak that way? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?' Immediately, Jesus, aware of his spirit, and they were reasoning that way within themselves, said to them, 'Why are you reasoning about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven," or to say, "Get up and pick up your pallet and walk"? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, 'I say to you, get up and pick up your pallet and go home.' And he got up and immediately picked up the pallet and went out in the sight of everyone, so that they were all amazed and were glorifying God, saying, 'We have never seen anything like this.'" Amen, amen. I just read for you Mark chapter 2, 1 through 44 and 45, and chapter 2, 1 through 12. What I want to present to you today is a lesson entitled, "Where Jesus Is." Where Jesus Is. And the first point I want to let you know is the simplest point I can give you. The simplest point I can give you is, where Jesus is, I want to be. Where Jesus is, I want to be. It ain't nothing hard or complex about that statement. Wherever Jesus is, that's where I gotta be. Now, what I want to tell you, and I read chapter 1 of this for you, is because Jesus had healed a man of leprosy in chapter 1, at the end of chapter 1, and Jesus told this man, "Shh, be quiet. Don't say nothing about what I just did for you." He says, "Don't say a word, because I got some work to do around here. And if it gets out," he already knew what was going to happen. A lot of people was going to come to me and say, I'm trying to preach the word here." But the man was way too happy. The man said, "Oh, no, you done did me a miraculous favor. I got to tell somebody about the goodness that you have done for me." You know, have you ever known somebody who just can't keep a secret? Have you ever known somebody? Now, I'm not talking about a bad secret. I'm about saying something that's joyous. When some good stuff happened to you in your life, don't you share it with somebody? Or do you keep it to yourself? Don't you want to say, "Hey, this brother did me some good," when somebody does something for you? Don't you want to say and rejoice with other folk and say, "Hey, I am proud to know this person," when somebody has uplifted you? Jesus told this guy to be quiet. This guy said, "I can't keep quiet, Jesus, because you too good to me. You know, I want to tell you that today, church, we got to be shouting Jesus from the rooftops. We got to let people know how good God is for us and to us. We got to act like we a saved generation, a saved people, that we love God. See, I don't know. God has been way too good to me for me not to put him out there wherever I go, for me not to show his goodness and his kindness to me. He has been so good to me. He has been so good to me that he has allowed me to come from ignorance into some knowledge. See, all of us, see, y'all won't act like you ain't been ignorant before, but and like it's a bad thing. Some of us, hey, when you was 5 years old, you know a lot more now than when you was 5 years old, right? You know a lot more than 10 years ago, I would hope. We ought to be a people that can grow. If you don't know no more than what you used to know, you ain't growing. You the same as what you used to be? You better thank God that you're able to grow and get some wisdom and some insight in your soul and your body. Let me tell you, we need to be where Jesus is because, number one, he is the bread of life, and he quenches our thirst. John 6:35 would state, then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never grow hungry, and he who believes in me will never thirst. I want to tell you that he fills us up. Romans 15 and 13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Let me tell you this. There are certain times, and I'll tell you a little bit about my life. I work midnight shift. And there are times when I need a boost of energy. One of the things that I will do, which is not really good for me, but it gives me a boost of energy, is I'm going to eat me a musketeer. This is a secret. Close my wife's ears up there. I'm going to eat me a musketeer and drink me a Mountain Dew. And it will wake me up for a short time. It's going to make me crash sooner or later, but for the time being, it's going to give me a spark of energy. My eyes going to brighten up. My actions, I'm going to be a little bit quicker in my step. I ain't going to be sluggish and dragging. Now, I might get to that point a little later, but it's going to wake me up. Now, let me tell you about this bread of life that God has for you. God got some bread of life for you. If you partake of him, that is going to fill you up for eternity. He got some knowledge and wisdom for you that is going to keep you going, and it ain't going to be no sugar rush. You're going to be well fed. You know, I'm talking about the feeding of a Thanksgiving dinner feeding. See, y'all understand that. See, if you got a good Thanksgiving dinner, you are well fed to the point sometimes if you eat enough of that turkey, you say, I don't even have no time for no dessert. I'm too fed full. I get that later. Let me go to sleep first. That's being well fed. Well fed. That's God's word for you, to be well fed. Fed up so you can't put no other nonsense in your life. That's what he wants you to be fed, so well fed off him that you can't get no ignorance in you. You can't put no disorderly conduct in you. You ain't got no coarse language in you. You ain't got no nonsense in your life because you so much about God. Ain't no space for nothing else. But see, we don't fill ourselves up with God. We leave the cup half full, three quarters full, so we can get just a little bit of nonsense in us. So we can just get a little bit of ignorance in us. But Jesus wants us to be well filled and well fed. John chapter 10, 11 tells us another reason why we need to be where Jesus is. And it says it's because he is the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. I'm going to tell you why we need to be where Jesus is, because Jesus is the only one that's going to do for you the way he does for you. He's the only one that's going to come to you and heal you when you sick. And see, I ain't talking about the miracles, but Jesus, I believe in a Jesus that answers our prayers. See, sometimes Jesus will intervene in your life when you pray to him for some things, and he, only he, will make things possible for you. See, there are some times, there will be some times in your life when your money ain't right, you don't know where it's going to come from to pay some bills, and you take it to Jesus, and Jesus is going to supply what you need. See, I don't know if you know how good Jesus is. Jesus is the type of person who, even though you ain't deserving of it, he gonna say, you know, Daddy, I can go down there and walk on the earth and be spat upon and be whipped and be hung from a cross, even though they don't deserve it, but because I love them. That's the Jesus whom we serve. That's the Jesus why we need to be where he's at. Because he's willing to pay the cost for all of us. So we should give him our faith, and not only our faith, but our obedience and submission. We should be willing to do everything that he asks. Let me tell you, we need to be where Jesus is at, because he's the only way. John 14:6 would say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but or except through me. You need to be where Jesus is at, because so many other people think that they can get to heaven another way, but the truth is, it's only Jesus. And it's going to be determined, and we're going to say it, so many people harp on religion, but I tell you, it's going to be determined about your relationship with Christ, where you stand with Christ, how you walk with Christ, who you are in Christ. That's where it's going to be determined if you get to heaven or not. Where are you at? Why? I need to be where he is, because he's the only one. He's the only one willing to do the things that he did so that we could be with him for eternity. You know, I want to tell you, where Jesus is, we also, these verses in Mark chapter 2 tells us that we also need to avoid the obstacles where Jesus is. And I want to tell you this. Jesus was in this house, and word of mouth has gotten around to everybody. And I tell you this, is when there's a good thing, good things get around. Good news gets around. It's people saying, hey, Jesus healed me. You need some help? You need some healing? He can do the same for you too. That's just word of mouth. Do we tell other people how broken we were? Do we tell people where we were and that Jesus fixed us? That is only because of Jesus we are who we are today? Is that what we convey to people when we let them know who Jesus is for us? Jesus put me where I'm at. The only reason where I stand before you right now is because of Jesus. And we need to recognize who Jesus is and what he's done for us, but we need to understand that there's obstacles in the way. And number one thing that the paralytic man had in his way was the people. Oh, it was wall-to-wall people. These men couldn't get in through the door, it says. You know what? I tend to think How many people have let people keep them out the house of the Lord? Now, he couldn't get in because it was too crowded. But how many people have not, just because of the people that is in the house? I don't like Sister So-and-so. Oh, man. Is this her week to come to church? Y'all know how we do. Oh, man, brother so-and-so. Yeah, I don't like him at all. He think he know everything. Always trying to command something. I can go somewhere else. I can praise the Lord at my house. How many times do we allow each other to not do what we need to do because of other people? The crowd was a problem. You know, I thought about what else was a problem in this man's way. You know, the roof was a problem. You know, that you go up on a roof, ain't no holes in the roof. They had to do some work to get this man down. They got to take apart this roof. They got to make a hole so he can be put down. Oh, man, how some work could keep some people out the church, too. See, y'all won't hear that. Hey, brother so-and-so, can you help with this project we got? You don't see him for another year. See, I'm telling the truth. Can you be over this ministry? Let me get back with you next week. And you don't ever see him again. A little work will make some people run, too. We got to be careful not to be scared committing ourselves to God. When you get put in this water, you ain't nothing but a servant of Christ. So many of us think that we owed something. You know, when Christ washed the disciples' feet, he was trying to teach something. But we think when we come out the waters, I ain't got to do nothing for nobody. You got to work. I want to tell you that skepticism was an issue. You know, there were some people when this man's sins were forgiven, people was looking like, ugh, anybody can say that. I could have said that. But this man's faith, it wasn't shaken by what he needed. His faith didn't lessen because of what people were saying, because of what was being said. He stayed strong. He stayed vigilant in his mindset. Let me tell you, his own self even got in the way. Let me tell you that he couldn't do this on his own. This man is on a mat. He couldn't get in there to Jesus by himself. His own predicament kept him away from receiving what he needed, was to be healed. You know what? It's a lot of paralyzed people in the pews today. They can't get up and do nothing to get some help for God. From God. We paralyzed. This story not about deaf and mute, but it's a lot of deaf and mute people in the pews too. Can't move, talk, or walk. You know, we need to be where Jesus is at, and we need to learn how to avoid the obstacles. You know, I want to tell you, the house that Jesus is at is filled with flawed people. Let me tell you this. The house of the Lord, when we come together, when we don't understand or look at ourselves and recognize that we all at one time or still are actively falling short of the glory of God, we lose sight of the mission that God has for us. You know, I want to tell you this. I want to tell you this is that when they, the people in this house that were with Christ, this is the second time he comes back. So word of mouth was he had done many, in Mark chapter 1, he did many, many healings. So word of mouth is, who you going to tell when Jesus comes back except for those who need to be healed? So when Jesus is in the house and he's preaching, it's a lot of sick folk, people that need to be healed in the house with Jesus. They didn't look and say, oh man, this man can't walk. I just can't use my left arm. He can't use both his legs. He weighs so way better, worse off than me. They didn't say, this man can't see. They didn't judge their level or physicality or shortness of being able to reach. They all understood that they needed some help. I'm going to tell you this. If you're in the house of the Lord, you need some help. You need Jesus. You need the great physician, the great doctor to do some work on you. Ain't no doubt about it. We come into the house of the Lord sick and downtrodden so that Jesus can heal us and lift us up. And once he's touched us, we gonna look at somebody else and be like, man, you real bad off. I just couldn't see, but you paralyzed and can't even walk. But that's how we do. That's exactly how we do in the house of the Lord. I'm gonna tell you this. In the house of the Lord, it doesn't make a difference if you are a homosexual. I don't care if you pregnant and unwed. I don't care if you got an addiction that you can't cope with. I don't care if you are drunk and we can smell it on your breath. I don't care if you high and your eyes is bloodshot red. You need to be in the house of the Lord. And we ain't got no business running you away. We ain't got no business chasing you away from the house of the Lord. Because we all here to get help. You know, let me tell you, in the house, when you're in the house of the Lord, the house is equipped with people who can handle your mess. And let me tell you this, is that these four men that helped this man, they helped this man, they put in their time, they put in their effort, they showed some care and some love for this man. They went the extra mile for this man. You know, when you come into the house of the Lord, don't you want somebody to show you some love? Don't you want somebody to show you some care? Don't you want somebody to be with you and to bring you to Jesus? See, listen. I'm not here to deal with your mess. I'm here to get you to Jesus. And Jesus will fix your mess. If I get you to Jesus, Jesus can touch you. But I'm gonna tell you this, don't just stop at the touching. Be transformed. See, I'm gonna tell you that there's a lot of people in Mark chapter 1 that Jesus touched but wasn't transformed. There's a lot of people that Jesus touches. It's a lot of people that get in this water and ain't transformed. It's a lot of people that Jesus in these stories had healed, and all they wanted to do was see another miracle. That's all it was about. But see, we need to get into the mindset of that. We want to be more and more like Jesus. We want our mindsets to be in such a way that it doesn't make a difference, because we know when we were sick, he was able to heal us. We know that when we were lost, he found us. We know when we were depressed, he encouraged us. We know when we were downtrodden or discouraged, he wiped away our tears. We know these things. We know how good God is. We know that he is the only way. We know that we are in the house of the Lord because we have people to help us get to Christ so that we can get right with Christ. Now, let me tell you this. When you're with Jesus, it's not just about being in the house of Jesus. When you come to Jesus and you meet Jesus where he's at, he wants you to take him with you. Don't leave Jesus in the house of the Lord. Take him wherever you go. So many times it's just a 2-hour, actually about a 1.5-hour stint we got with Jesus. And then we back to all our ignorance and nonsense all over again the next day. By Sunday night, we done forgot we been in church. By Monday morning, you acting like you don't even go to church. You ain't even a Christian no more. Christianity is just like that suit you put on or them nice clothes you put on. I got a suit on today, but I got some jeans on tomorrow. And we the same way. We change our spiritual clothes and our spiritual attitude. I can talk any way now. I can act any way now. I can behave any way now. I ain't got to be Jesus no more because it ain't Sunday. But see, this is what I want to tell you is that if we really transformed, our attitudes change. And when our attitudes change, some actions can change. I'm going to tell you this, is that when your attitude is bad, your actions sometimes are corrupt. I'm going to tell you, when you ever heard of waking up on the wrong side of the morning, you wake up on the wrong side of the morning and a cop pull you over. You ain't going to be nice to that cop. Let them tell you, hey, you know why I pulled you over? Nope. You could have been doing 80 and a 60. You'll say some crazy things if your attitude is bad. You got to get a good attitude in you, an attitude like Christ, so your actions can resemble some actions like Christ. You got to change some things. And you know what? I'll tell you this, is that in everything we do, I'm going to tell you is that we act according to how our attitude propels us. Okay? If you got a bad attitude, you're going to do bad things. If you got a good attitude, generally you're upbeat and jovial, and some bad things can happen, and you still, okay, it was all right. It's all about your attitude. But what I'll tell you is that we need to carry Christ with us wherever we go. I want to tell you that we need to take Christ with us to work. We need to take Christ with us in our home life. Very important in our home life. I'm going to tell you this. If you've got kids, your children should know that you're a Christian more than just on Sunday. Today, church, I want to let you know, and I'm going to close with this. I'm going to close with this right here, is that where Jesus is, we need to all want to be. We need to want to be. We need to seek him. James 4:8, the first part of that says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. We need to be actively seeking God and a relationship with Jesus Christ so that he can come close to us. We need to be knocking down some walls in a relationship with Christ. We need to be tearing up some roots to have a relationship with Jesus Christ and not letting people stop us or contain us or say that we can't get close to God. Today, church, the lesson is yours. I just want to tell you this, is today is the day that you don't have to be paralyzed anymore. You can be able to walk down this aisle and say, I need a relationship with Christ. I need to get right with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you know what I'm going to tell you is that I may not be able to walk by myself. I might need some support from some friends and some help, but I know I need Jesus. Today, church, if you're not a member of the body of Christ, the opportunity is now to hear his word, to allow what he has said to grow into belief, to believe in such a fashion that faith causes you to act, to repent, understanding that you are in a house of people who can't judge nobody because they done all sin. Can't say a word about your sin. So when you repent and say, God, please forgive me for where I'm at right now. I know I don't want to be there. I want to go your way. Can't nobody look at you and say nothing. Amen. To confess Christ, that he is the Son of God, and then be buried in baptism. You know, I want to tell you is that Jesus, he flipped the script in Mark chapter 2. In many of the Mark chapter 1, he was touching folk. But in Mark chapter 2, for this paralytic man, he healed his soul first. He said, hey, you forgiven of your sins. They call him, wait, what? Forgiven of sins? Only God can do that. You said, well, I told you I was God. You know, stop thinking about the superficial of it all. You know, I've seen people get baptized because they don't want to go to hell. And I understand that's admirable. That's something that's good. But you got to want to be like Christ. You got to want to act and he be your example. You got to love him, to submit to him for obedience and service. We have to understand that when you get in this water, it's a commitment to who he is. I don't think that we understand the commitment that comes with it. Do you love God? Do you want to be where Jesus is? If you want to be where Jesus is today is your opportunity if you're not right. Today is your opportunity if you've fallen short of his glory and you need to get right. Today is that opportunity to say that I'm going to live faithful until death for Jesus Christ because he's so good to me. Now is a lot of time as we together stand and sing.